This is an oral notfic recorded by Litra. Fandom is Star Wars, prequels, and a little bit of the Clone Wars. I think I'm going to call this one, like, Bad Management Saves the Galaxy. Yeah, that sounds like a good title. So here's the concept. Episode 1 has just happened. We've got Anakin joining the Jedi, and unfortunately Qui-Gon's dead, and Obi-Wan is doing his own thing there, training Anakin, and all of that stuff. And quietly in the background, Sith Lord Palpatine is, you know, sitting back in his brand new Chancellor's chair and cackling maniacally, and laying out all the plans for how he is going to take over the galaxy. And he's quietly setting up his dominoes one by one, and it's early days, so he's optimistic. He does not yet know how incredibly terrible the Galactic Senate is. Like, he knows, but he doesn't really know. Because he's been a part of it, but he hasn't tried to, like, be a part of it and lead it and have his secret side projects going on. And so he's, like, leaning back in his chair thinking, I'm going to need an army in however long it's going to be. It'll be a while, but I'm going to need one. And it takes a while to build an army, so I better get on that sooner rather than later. Who can get me an army? Oh, hey, the Kaminoans can get me an army. I'll just contact them. I'm going to quietly embezzle all of these funds and pay for an army. And what's the name of the head Kaminoan person? Ugh. What's their name? Lama Su. So, yeah, Lama Su is very happy to take his money and says, oh yes, it will take quite some time. It will take at least a decade, probably closer to 15 years, but we can totally build you an army. And they sit down with, you know, through intermediaries, because Sifo Dyas and possibly Count Dooku, and possibly someone else? Who knows? Lama Su is not working directly with him, needless to say. So, but they work out all the specs, and they're like, I'm going to spend 3 months picking out the perfect clone template and customizing my order and figuring out that I want chips installed, and early days Palpatine is very enthusiastic about his plans. And then things get underway, and Lama Su is like, yep, we got this. No need to keep looking over our shoulders. And Palpatine is like, well, okay. Guess I'll go back to running the Senate then. And he goes and he does his thing, and he checks back with Kamino every few months, and then it's every year, and then, you know, needless to say, the clones get put on the back burner. Every time he checks in with Kamino, they're on schedule. Everything looks good. No need to worry. Lama Su is a professional. Now, the rest of his plans, they do not go nearly as easily as the making the clones. Because the Galactic Senate is a gigantic pile of mess. It is even worse. Like, he has been on Coruscant acting as a senator for a couple of years now, before he became chancellor. He knows how much of a mess it is, but it's kind of like knowing there's a mess and then trying to clean up the mess. And you dig under that first layer of mess and you find even older, messier mess. And so he's trying to pit the senators against each other, which, granted, is actually very easy, except for the senators take it in the wrong direction. He is literally herding cats half the time, which, you know, he can do with a little force suggestion and a little bit of an illusion, except then they take it and go in the opposite direction, and he's like, ugh. And he's trying to talk to the banking clans about getting a thing with the Miners Guild, and the Miners Guild with a thing with the all of the different pieces. And the right hand does not know what the left hand doeth here. And that is more of a problem than he thought it would be, because everybody is out for themselves. And somewhere down the line, there are things like, oh, hey, I'm making this servo motor for a bunch of droids. But why would I ever build anything for a battle droid? My people don't need battle droids. My people need aquatic droids. My people need R2 units. This servo thing must be for an R2 unit. And then the servo doesn't fit. And then the whole process needs to be moved back, and the planning and the scheduling needs to be adjusted. And then so-and-so got caught on corruption charges, and all of a sudden, Palpatine needs a new inside guy with the Nemoidians, and all these little hang-ups. And by the way, he still has to do his actual job and go out and kiss babies and all of that. And every once in a while, he just needs a break. And so, things happen, and chaos does its job and keeps Palpatine very, very busy. And Palpatine tries to keep everything in control. He really does. He is a master manipulator, and he does a fairly good job considering he's only one person. Well, he does have an apprentice now, and by the way, he really should go back over to Sereno and give Dooku some more training, because as powerful as Dooku is, he's not very good with the dark side yet, but he can't schedule that in until, like, 2 months from now, because there's something. And so on and so forth. And, oh, by the way, he also has to keep track of the Jedi? Right, because the Senate keeps sending requests to the Jedi, and he has to lay all these false trails because he can't let the Jedi get wise, and the Jedi could get wise very easily. So we need to lay false trails, and we need to corrupt the Jedi archives, and we need to... Oh, right, the Senate? Right, I have a meeting! And 10 years very quickly goes by. And at the end of those 10 years, Palpatine is a little bit behind schedule. He's not where he would want to be. But he's managing. There's a lot of tension in the Senate. There's a lot of people talking about how the Senate isn't doing things properly. There is even talk of some planets thinking about seceding. Unfortunately, the Jedi have been very on that. And so far, all of the major issues have been worked out. So he tries to spend more time with managing the Jedi, and then he tries to go back and talk to Dooku, and the whole cycle repeats. Now, over on Kamino, the clones, the Alpha Batch is doing great. The Alpha Batch is basically ready for deployment. They have been trained up, they have been, like, put through the ringer for all of the different scenarios. Jango Fett and the couple of other bounty hunters they have training them have all, like, checked all the boxes. The clones are looking good. And then the first major batch comes out, and they check all the boxes, and they've got their training, and they're doing really good. This is the Galactic Army for the Republic is ready to deploy. They just need some... I mean, there's a little bit. A few little things. They could use some more training over here. And then there's some new ships that have been created since the clones were manufactured. So the clones need training on these new ships. And then, like, there's some improvement with the blasters, and you can never have too much blaster training, according to the clones. So yeah, they can go and train on the new blasters, and over in one corner, Lama Sue is kind of tapping her foot, going, these things are bought and paid for, and yet they're sitting here. It's never good to have product just sitting on the shelves. we've got a second major batch coming out in less than 6 months. Where are the Jedi? What did they order these things for? We can't store them forever. We budgeted in a certain amount for food and clothing and all of that, and we're running through that surplus, and we're going to have to start charging them extra if they want us to house and clothe and feed all of these things. So Lama Su, very quietly but politely, contacts the Jedi Council because, as far as they believe, I mean, it was Sifo Dyas, a member of the Jedi High Council, that ordered the clones in the first place. They are the army for the Republic, but they are the army for the Jedi. That was made very clear from the beginning. The Jedi are the owners of the clones. On behalf of the Republic, of course. Because the Jedi don't have possessions, Lama Su isn't quite certain on that point, but it's philosophical, and Kaminoans don't do the whole philosophy thing, so meh. So over in the Jedi Council, they get this very interesting message from a planet that supposedly does not exist, going, "Hi, we have your product. Did you want to come inspect it? Did you want to come pick it up? We can deliver it for you if you want. Just give us a time and a location." And the Jedi are like, "Wait, what? Who did what now?" There was... Sifo Dyas is dead. And Lama Su is like, "Oh, well, that would explain why we couldn't reach him. Who's our next point of contact? Is it you, Master Yoda? Is it you, Mace Windu? Who are we contacting?" And the council just looks at each other and goes, "Shit." So, they decide that for the time being, this needs to be kept under wraps until they have fully assessed the situation. They definitely want to keep it under wraps from the Senate and the Supreme Chancellor, because this is kind of a major fuck-up. The army, I mean, the Jedi aren't supposed to be a military force. The Senate might see this as, well, some kind of attempted coup. Not very good. We need to keep this on the DL. Keep it on the DL. We'll send one of our senior masters, someone who is very respected, to go out to Kamino, assess the situation, report in, all of that good stuff. So, who do they send? They send Master Plo Koon. Very good choice, they think. Very, very good choice. Plo, of course, sets foot on Kamino, and about 2 seconds later goes, "These are all of my children! They are unique in the Force. They are precious, precious beings. They are mine now. You cannot have them." And the Kaminoans have no idea what to do with this. And to be fair, the clones don't really either. They like Plo, though. Plo is their Jedi. Plo is the first Jedi they have ever seen. Plo likes them. Plo is constantly praising them, saying how good they are at shooting things, saying how good they are at, "Oh, look, you blew up that target so well. You went through that obstacle course in nearly record time. That is so good." The clones really like Plo. Plo really likes the clones. This is... Lama Su thinks this is starting to be a problem. But technically, the clones are his. So... eh? And back in the Jedi Council, the Jedi Counselor's like, "Plo, what are you doing? You cannot make friends with that many..." Too late. "What are you going to do with them? What are we going to do with them?" Because Plo insists that they are all unique in the Force. They can't just, like, deactivate them like a bunch of droids. But there isn't a need for an army. So, someone, probably Yoda, goes, "We must meditate on this. Meditate on this, we must." And they decide to table the issue. Because, frankly, nobody has any ideas. The council is trying to figure things out, and in the meantime, they are continuing to do their jobs. They are sending knights out on missions and trying to negotiate things and trying to basically keep peace in the galaxy. And also deal with the Chancellor, because he's been poking into their business way too much recently. And very quietly, in the background, Plo, who is still a member of the Council, is doing his job. Albeit, he's working remotely from Kamino. And he gets the normal amount of mission briefs and assignments, and so-and-so is requesting this, and we have... And another person is taking a new Padawan, and oh hey, this is an interesting request. This Jedi is on a planet trying to negotiate a peace treaty that just fell through for the second time, in sort of in a not quite a war zone, requesting backup and or extraction, maybe a replacement. Things could go south at any time. We need more boots on the ground. We need people who are not, like, highly polarized between these different factions. Plo looks up from his desk and goes, huh, I have about 50,000 people around me who are trained for pretty much exactly this, and who are very eager to help. Technically, they are under my jurisdiction. Wonder what I can do with this. And so he goes around to a couple of the squad leaders and he's like, hey, there's a situation. It's not quite the war that you were promised, but we have a Jedi on the ground who needs some backup and some protection detail for this, like, government official and this person over here. And generally, we need to keep things from escalating. Think you can do it? And the clones are like, sir, yes, sir. We can absolutely do this. And so Plo contacts the Jedi on the ground and says, hey, I've got some backup coming your way. It's not another Jedi, unfortunately, because everybody's super busy at this point. But they're from a new branch of judicial. Yeah, sure, we'll go with that. It's a special Jedi judicial branch. They are trained for combat. Just go with it. And the Jedi on the ground is like, okay? I can work with judicial forces, I guess. Sure, yeah. Just get me some backup down here. And then the clones arrive. And it's not that many of them, all things considered. It's only like two or three squads. Say 20, maybe 30 clones. But they know their business. And this is a fairly, like, while the larger mission is quite extensive over the course of the planet, but they're pretty centralized to one city, one major location that needs to be defended, two or three people who need protection details, and these are alphas. These guys know their stuff. The Jedi on the ground is super confused that they are clones. The Jedi is also, like, does not care at this point, because they are very good at their jobs, and they have already stopped two bombings and one assassination attempt in the 2 hours they were here. Thank you. Thank you, Master Plo. And the Jedi on the ground is like, okay, you having designations rather than names is kind of weird. Do you guys want names? And a few of them are like, yeah, sure, give me a name. I'll have a name. And there are a few, like Alpha 17, who are just like, why would I need a name? I've already got a name. It's Alpha 17. You know, according to their personalities. And there is a few clones that get very attached to this Jedi, because as much as all of the clones love Master Plo, he's only one person. He does not have the time to personally, you know, have that personal connection with every single clone. And so the fact that these clones get another Jedi to work with, yeah, we're going to work with this Jedi. We're going to protect them, and we're going to, yeah, good Jedi. Like, and this Jedi, I should really figure out who this Jedi is. You know what? My gut instinct says it's Kit Fisto. So we're going to say this Jedi is Kit Fisto, and Kit Fisto is as optimistic as he is in the Clone Wars, and he is just like, my new friends, you came to help, but in a Jamaican accent. And many of the clones from these two or three units are just like, this guy, this is a fun guy. I like this guy. And so the mission goes on a little bit longer than it should have. And by the end, Kit Fisto is very good friends with all of these clones. And he's like, oh, the mission is over now. I've already given my report to Master Plo, and through him, the rest of the council, and I need to head back to the temple. I'm not sure what's gonna happen with you guys. And a few of the clones are just like, well, we could give you an escort back to the temple. It wouldn't be any trouble. It's not like we're doing anything else. And so most of the clones go back to Kamino, but then there are four, maybe five, that just attach themselves to Kit Fisto. And he's got a pilot, and he's got probably like a hacker or a mechanic or somebody like that. And he's got a couple of people who are just like, yeah, we're bros. We'll do whatever needs to be done. And they go back to the temple, and they introduce themselves as, you know, yeah, we're part of judicial. That's what Master Plo said, so I guess it must be true. And the temple guard is like, oh, okay. Well, we've got so-and-so-and-so-and-so who are in charge of temple security. And I guess you can report to them while you're here. And at this point, there aren't enough clones that it seems weird that they're clones. Like, it's potential that they could be triplets or... what's four? It's quintuplets is five. Anyway. So, these four or five clones just, like, blend into temple security. And they get used to temple security. And temple security gets used to them. And they find, like, weird holes in temple security. And they go, hey, should we, like, cover up this hole? Take care of it? And maybe one of the clones is like in the library and goes like, there's a back door in this system here. Do we want to, Master Nu? Do you want to take care of this security risk to your library? And you just know that somewhere back on Kamino, Plo Koon is leaning back in his chair and cackling like a madman. Because, yes, yes, this. And Kit isn't the only one he sends reinforcements to. In fact, a lot of the clones who've requested backup or reinforcements or support staff, it's become a kind of thing in the temple that nobody quite knows why or where these people are coming from, but apparently Plo has some connections to judicial. Because if you make a request of the senior council, I mean, chances are it'll end up in limbo. But if your request ends up on Plo's desk, then you're likely to get some decent backup here. And sure, it's not always what you'd expect. Like, apparently these guys have a lot of Mandalorian culture. And, like, there's some rumors going around about, like, Mandalorians who are doing some kind of outreach with judicial to train something to something to maybe to help their planet? Maybe this is some kind of something. Nobody quite knows the deal. But these people are useful. These people know their stuff. And they're not afraid of a little hard work. Which, normally, that's the big sticking point with getting any help from the Senate forces. Because most of the people who Senate sends are, like, civilian volunteers. And they're good and they mean well, but they don't understand the realistic nature of, like, being on the ground and doing the thing. And on the clone side of things, the clones that returned from the mission with Kit Fisto and from all of the missions after that with all of the different Jedi, they bring back all of their stories. They bring back stories of different worlds. They bring back stories of people who need help. Not a war that needs to be fought, but people who are just trying to live their lives and, hey, they don't always have clean drinking water, or, hey, they need some food. And soon enough, when Plo comes to the clones and goes, hey, I've got these missions. They're not combat related at all. We need more people out here in the Outer Rim helping to deliver inoculations and rations to these planets like Tatooine and Jakku and people way out there that don't have any support, that don't think much of the Senate because the Senate have never helped them. These are requests that the Jedi have always wanted to fulfill, but just have never had the manpower. And of course, it isn't the glorious war that the clones were promised. But at this point, the clones who haven't been off planet are interested in just going somewhere and doing something. So Plo quietly talks to the AgriCorps people and the other support corps. And he's like, hey, you know that project that we were never able to fund? Do you want to do it? And they're like, hell yes, we want to do it. And a batch of clones gets sent out with a couple of AgriCorps Jedi who haven't picked up a lightsaber in years. And frankly, that's the reason that they didn't go into the Outer Rim, because it was too dangerous. But now they have a platoon of soldiers who also are quite willing to pick up a shovel if they need to. And sending the clones into the Outer Rim means the clones are now running into things like piracy and spice trade and slavery. Very quietly, the clones interact with slaves. They interact with everyone, but they see the slaves as people in the same way that they are people. They are people owned by other people, but that doesn't make them any less people. And the clones have always been proud of being, of belonging to the Jedi. That's the culture they were raised into. But the slaves start showing them that maybe this isn't such a good thing. And then at some point, somebody, one of the slaves, says, yeah, no, we have a chip. We have an explosive planted in us that we have to do what they say or we die. And this slowly spreads through the clones that these people are, like, they will be killed if they stray too far from their master. And obviously that doesn't happen, because Plo would never let that happen. And they've left Kamino, so it's not like they're getting... But the Kaminoans always treated them like... And the clones, the brothers, still have this huge network of communication between all of them. And so the clones in the Outer Rim start talking to the clones on Kamino, and the clones on Kamino start talking to the clones that are being sent out on all these Jedi missions. And sidebar, the council at this point, they've known what Plo has been doing for a while. Master Yoda and Master Windu had a sit-down conversation with Plo a while back, and Plo made some very detailed points about how they couldn't just leave the clones on Kamino. They are people, and if the council isn't going to make a decision about them formally, then Plo is going to do his best to do it right by these people. And Yoda and Windu were like, I'm gonna glance at my other counselor here, and I'm gonna shrug because, well, these are things that need to get done. The AgriCorps is certainly happy. Master Nu is kind of co-opted several of the clone techs because her library was invaded at some point. She's kind of scary. We don't talk about that. And the temple security has been beefed up considerably. Not that it needed it, but it's nice to know that the Jedi they send out on missions are getting the proper support. And now, I mean, it's kind of too late to stop, because most of the Jedi who go out on dangerous missions now are kind of like, where's my clone unit? And so, yeah. So the council has quietly approved what Plo Koon is doing, even though they haven't officially approved it. Where was I? Right, the chips. So, the clones learn about slave chips, and they talk to their brothers all across the galaxy, and somebody figures out that, yeah, they have some chips in them. One of the medics did a deep scan, and, that's not good. That's not... And for a while, there's this stretch of time where the clones kind of close off from the Jedi that they're working with. They're still very professional, mind you, but they're also like, I'm not sure if I should trust you. And more than one clone requests that the chip be removed. Now, all of this is happening over the span of maybe a year. It starts slowly, but then escalates very quickly. And by the time the clones learn about the chips, they are kind of spread out across the galaxy, and they've got their own uniform. And eventually, word gets back to the Supreme Chancellor because, and here's the key, Senator Amidala from Naboo requested a Jedi escort on her way back to Coruscant because she was afraid of it being attacked. And you know who gets sent? Not Kenobi and Skywalker, but a troop of clones. Because, okay, yes, the senator may be attacked, but we don't have any confirmation of an attack, so yeah, we're gonna just send in a troop of clones, and the Jedi can meet her once she's on planet, and assess things, and see if she needs a further protection detail, and all of that. And so, Chancellor Palpatine, meeting the young senator from his home planet, sees a bunch of people with the same face, in very multicolored armor, marching her down the gangplank, saluting him, and then turning to the resident Jedi, whoever that may be in this scenario, and going, "Sir, we have delivered the package." And Amidala kind of quietly laughs in the background, going, like, yes, yes, I am a package. We are in this joke together because all of this, you know, because we've had time to bond. And the Chancellor's just like, my, the Jedi have such good security. Where on earth did you get these fine soldiers? I hope that didn't come out of my budget, ha ha ha. And the Jedi in question,
I want to say it's Mace. Let's make it Mace Windu. Mace Windu just kind of nods and goes, no, no, you see, one of our Jedi a decade or so back had a vision that they would be needed. And so here they are. And kind of sweeps it under the rug and like, no, no, it didn't come out of your coffers. They are purely like Jedi forces. We are, they have been looped in to a branch of judicial, the Jedi branch of judicial. They are under our auspices, of course. You know, Mace Windu BSing like nobody's business, but in a very good way. And the fact that Palpatine is both caught off guard and he can't pull any tricks on Windu because Windu will know, and also they're on a landing platform and there's kind of other things that need to happen. So he's like, ah, yes, you'll have to tell me the details sometime. Amidala, let's get you inside. And so Padme goes inside and waves goodbye to her new clone friends. And then, you know, proceeds to tell Mace that, yes, I am still concerned about a threat. And, oh, and the Chancellor perks up and goes, how about Kenobi and Skywalker? And Mace is like, oh, well, I suppose we could send them in. But really, the clones have got it. Yeah, see that guy? That's random, insert random clone name here. I don't want to make it Cody because maybe it could be Rex. Sure. See that clone? That's Rex. And over there, that's Kix. And yeah, no, these guys got it. And they do a full sweep of Padme's rooms and they like settle in and go like, you know, Senator, we'll be watching all night. Do good, and, like, we'll see you in the morning. And one of the clones has a sniper rifle and shoots the droid before it can get the thing through her window. And in general, everybody's, like, cool. Except, of course, for Palpatine, who is back in his office going, criff, 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 criff. How can I recapture control of this situation? I could try to start up the war, and the droid army is pretty much ready to go. Except, now, like, would the Jedi accept the clones as an actual army now? And he puts out some feelers, and he can't get inside the Jedi Temple, because they've closed up all the security holes. Even the ones to the library, damn. And all of these, like, conflicts that he's been trying to start, he doesn't have the numbers to properly, like, there are plenty of planets who still want to secede, but, like, the banking clan and the mining guild, they don't have home planets. They're really organizations more than, and so the rules for them are a bit tricky. They don't actually have representation in the same way a planet or a sector does, and so them seceding would basically just change the tax laws and maybe end a few contracts. So, in desperation, Palpatine tries to execute Order 66, because if nothing else, he can kill a whole lot of Jedi. And if he can turn the clones against the Jedi, then maybe he can turn this whole thing around, and then he has the army of droids facing this rogue army of clones, and he's grasping at straws here, but maybe he can make it work. Except, of course, that half of the clones don't have their chips anymore, and when the other half go rogue, the clones that don't have their chips, like, okay, part of it is that Palpatine can't talk to all the clones. He can send out this wide signal to, like, all the clones on Coruscant, or all the clones on Kamino, potentially, but what would he do with that? There's only one Jedi on Kamino. Plo Koon, still in the background, pulling all the puppet strings and quietly humming to himself. So Palpatine sends out a signal to activate all the clones on Coruscant. And there are a fair number. He's done his, like, checks, and yeah, pretty much half of the Jedi security are now clones. And if they attack the Jedi on their home soil, then that will be a very big step towards sowing dissent. Or so he thinks. Most of the clones that still have a chip that activate, they get knocked out pretty darn fast between the brothers who have the chip taken out and the Jedi who are like, no, I'm not going to hurt my friend. And then about 2 seconds later, the clones on Coruscant who are not knocked out send a signal out to the clones elsewhere and going, somebody activated the chips! Red alert, red alert, red alert! And all of the brothers either, one, like, throw away the communicators and start going into hiding, or two, put their hands on their hips and go, Plo? What the fuck? Chips in our heads controlling us? We are not slaves. And Plo, who, this is the first he's heard of it, turns to the Kaminoans and goes, what? What did you do to my children? And the Kaminoans are like, that's part of what you ordered, but fine, we'll take out the chips. And the rest of the council is like, so, secret weapon against the Jedi. That makes a lot more sense. Oh, look, the Jedi we sent out to look at Sifo-Dyas's trail back when this all started has found some clues that lead to the Sith. Secret Sith plot. Obi-Wan Kenobi faced a Sith about a decade back. Guess, wonder if it's the same person. And all of a sudden the Jedi are super on their guard. And they have a bunch of clones who are still angry at them. But will trust the Jedi because the Jedi are family. Even if they totally got the wool pulled over their eyes. And once again, in the background, Palpatine starts cursing. Because, no! Why his plan? It has completely fallen apart. Now he must construct a new 2-decade-long plan. And so the war gets put off indefinitely because of bad bureaucracy and the clones being awesome. The end.